Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 12:32 p.m. that is Pacific Standard Time, and today is February 17th. It's President's Day in the USA, so the main Wall Street indices are shut, but the futures markets are open. I thought that we would concentrate, though, on what's going on in China. The CSI 300 was up over 2%. It has completely unwound the decline following the reopening of the market after the New Year holiday, and there is obviously a clear bet by investors that there is going to be a stimulus. Now, when we look at the utterances of the central government, then there have been some mixed messages. The most important thing that was announced last week was that, and it was early last week, that they are going to relax the rules on stock lending programs, which was one of the primary ways that companies were gaining financing, that they were basically pledging their shares to the banks in order to get funding. That was curtailed last year. It's now open season again. Conditions that created the shadow banking bubble about 3 years ago are now back in action as well. And then we also have the clear potential for additional stimulus to go directly into infrastructure development, which is very positive for the regional governments. And the regional governments absolutely need this source of stimulus because, very simply, they're in dire straits. When you look at the pictures of deserted streets in the most populous country in the world, then it's pretty obvious that economic activity has pretty much ground to a halt in a significant proportion of China. And that is equally true in places like South Korea, Taiwan, Singapore, Malaysia. People are just staying at home. So, for example, we saw news today that the casinos in Macau are opening up again, but they're going to have to engage in their own form of stimulus to try and encourage people to go back. And it's that hit to consumer confidence that is the most significant factor, that people are talking about. We were at lunch yesterday with another couple, and they are basically just signing off on any idea about going to Asia this year. We're talking about the same kinds of things. Mrs. Tracy is rather worried about having to go to China to meet with factories this year at all. And that is obviously going to be rippling down into the tourist sector. Then, of course, there is the knock-on effect for the Chinese consumer that they're not going to want to engage in economic activity until they're well past the peak in terms of infections and have got clear evidence that it's under control. Well, that pretty much ensures that we're going to have some form of stimulus. What we did see over the weekend was that there was some mention from the Communist Standing Committee that they were going to engage in stimulus, but that it was going to be focused on trying to avoid waste. But that's virtually impossible. If that's all they're going to do, then there is going to be a recession in mainland China. And the stock market is not signaling that. I think the more important points are what was announced last week, that basically we have open season now on speculation. That's why we've had the dynamic moves in the 8-share index. It's why the Hang Seng has also been able to rebound, considering the fact, for example, that the Hang Seng has been pulling back dramatically. The more accurate way to say it is not that the Hang Seng has been pulling back dramatically, but rather that visitors to Hong Kong have pulled back dramatically, and yet the stock market has been able to rebound. Now, it has almost completely unwound the downward dynamic that we saw immediately after the resumption of trading following the New Year holiday, and it continues to hold a succession of higher reaction lows. The stock market is telling us that investors are betting that there is going to be a stimulus, regardless of what the official prognostications are. And I think that is by far the most important conclusion. When we look at, for example, the stock market of Taiwan, economic activity in terms of consumer activity has ground to a halt in Taiwan, but there has been an impressive rebound in the stock market. Now the big question is are the lows going to hold? If the lows hold, then we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Now, one thing that I think is important is when we look at the S&P 500, what we have on the short-term oscillator, the RSI, we have a sequence of higher highs on the S&P 500. We have a succession of lower highs on the RSI. I don't look at these kinds of oscillators all that often, but it is usually when you get a divergence in terms of the trajectory of highs and lows on the oscillator versus what you're seeing in the stock market that generally tells us that there's a loss of upward momentum, that there is potential now for some pause and consolidation. I think that was already my conclusion last week, but I think it is increasingly likely at this stage. Now the big question is, what's going to happen in terms of the kinds of hedges that have been holding steady over the course of the last month or two? Gold prices were marginally weaker in here today, but so far continuing to hold the range. And there is potential here that if we do get some pause of consolidation in the stock market, that gold should be doing better. Then when we look at the performance of the dollar index, the fact that the dollar and gold have been rallying in tandem, that's suggestive of desire for a hedge, at least. We don't have a lot of evidence that investors have been going to cash. That's certainly not the case, for example, in Europe, where we have the Eurostox index pushing on to new high ground, the DAX index, which is a total return index and therefore does get flattered by its dividends, is also at a new high. But I think what's also worthy of consideration is that Deutsche Bank is the best performing share in the DAX this year, and it's rallying really quite impressively. The catch-up potential for Commerzbank is also worthy of mention, that it is rallying now from the lower side of this evolving nearly 8-year range. So there is evidence of increasing risk appetite in Europe. Now, when we look at, for example, some of the peripheral stock markets like Spain, it has clearly broken its succession of lower rally highs, and it has bounced from the region of the trend mean. What I find particularly interesting is the commonality with South Korea, where we've also seen the succession of lower rally highs broken and it firming from the region of the trend mean. Now, what on earth have Spain and South Korea got in common? Well, they're both, neither of them are in the top 10 of the largest economies in the world. They've both experienced periods of doubt in the eyes of stock market investors, but they are both likely to benefit from the potential for global monetary and fiscal stimulus. We've gone through periods of synchronized global monetary stimulus. I think it is now quite likely that we are moving into a phase of synchronized global monetary and fiscal stimulus. And that is likely to be beneficial to countries like Spain and South Korea and just about everywhere else as well. And that is what we're seeing in terms of stock market activity. That is exactly what investors are pricing in to the vast majority of stock market indices right now. So the ASX 200 in Australia is right in the region of its peak, and that is despite the fact that we've had a significant pullback in terms of the industrial metals, and if we're looking for rebounds, then The rebound we've had in the industrial metals hasn't been nearly as impressive as we've seen in some of the stock markets. When we look at copper prices, then it has continued to bounce from the 250 area. It's coming back to the region of the trend mean, but it is rebounding. It has continued to hold the sequence of very short-term higher lows, and as long as it is doing that, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Oil prices have also continued to rebound in here, and we're in additional positive territory in here today. This is now 5 consecutive days on the upside, so unwinding the short-term oversold condition. But oil really does have a lot of work to do here in order to really confirm that we are back in a demand-dominated environment. If we zoom in, though, we can see that this was an upside weekly key reversal last week, and so far following through on the upside this week. So there is the potential here that this is a low of more than short-term significance, and that the region of the low from back in December is an important area of support. The clear conclusion is that commodities should benefit from synchronized global monetary and fiscal stimulus. And we may be starting to see the first evidence of that starting to come through. What I found interesting in here today was also that there's speculation that Exxon is not going to be able to sustain its dividends, and that would, I think, be one of the primary reasons why it has been pulling back. I think it's worth considering here that the share has been a constituent of the S&P 500 Dividend Aristocrats for decades. And if it cannot sustain its ability to continue to raise its dividend, then it's going to drop out of that designation. It would then be rather difficult to consider it a blue chip share. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with it over the course of the next few days, but we have got a very short-term oversold condition, and the dividend yield, just going back to that, is now at about 5.74%. So there is the potential that we're going to see some bargain hunters coming in here, even if there is the risk that the dividend will be cut back. Royal Dutch Shell is in a similar situation. I haven't seen the same kind of commentary about the sustainability of its dividend, but it was in positive territory in here today, and the share is currently yielding 7.5%. So there has been a lot more variability in Royal Dutch Shell's ability to sustain its dividend, and the pullback we've seen has certainly priced in a significant amount of bearish news. The competition that the company now has in terms of the LNG market is obviously one of the reasons why it is pulling back. But it's not as if there isn't a need for additional natural gas in Asia. It's simply that supply has come on a little faster than demand has been increasing. And the negative repercussions of the shock to growth we're going to have in the first quarter is obviously weighing on the commodity complex. It's going to be perhaps a little while before we see some of the recoveries that are probably inevitable in the commodity complex starting to really come through. Certainly one region that we are seeing some additional bullish interest is in the cocoa market. And cocoa has now pushed on to a new recovery high and starting to challenge the peak from 2018 amid a short-term overbought condition. Coffee prices, having given up almost all of the initial advance, have now rebounded in a dynamic manner and holding the sequence of higher reaction lows over the last year. And this does look like a recovery type scenario where we have the sequence of higher reaction lows. It has broken the 3-year downtrend, and it's looking, I think, increasingly likely that we're going to see additional upside here. Robusta coffee has pulled back also. It does appear to be now putting in a higher reaction low, which could also be positive here. The big question for the grains and beans is, when are they going to be able to sustain a move up and out of these ranging phases? But at least soybeans is steadying at the lower side of this 12-month range. I think the most important point is investors are pricing in the potential for significant additional stimulus, and that is likely to have a deleterious effect on the purchasing power of currencies, which is positive for gold. But in order for the accelerating trends in some of the mega caps and cloud computing and semiconductors sectors, as well as the recovery we're seeing in global stock markets almost universally, we're going to have to see the easy monetary and fiscal stimulus starting to come through. And that is a precondition for the continued inflating of asset bubbles. US 10-year Treasury yields are continuing to hold around this 1.5% level. It's been an area of resistance for the price and support for the yield over the course of the last 8 years, and a sustained move below it would really be required to question that we're not going to enter a supply-dominated environment. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.